Well, my message this morning is God. Are you ready? That's the title of the sermon that I'm going to speak to you this morning. Are you ready when Jesus comes? We serve an omnipotent God, all-powerful God, Almighty God. As what David says in Psalms 19, it says, the heavens declares the glory of God. If you look at the stars, if you look at the His creation of the heavenly bodies, there are more stars and planets in the universe than all the sands of the seashore here on earth. Just think of how great is our God. This is a statement from Carl Sagan. If we compare our earth as a marble, the sun will be as big as the thumb. There are even in one video that we watched here one time, that was shown by Ron Jr., the son of the pastor who is in charge of the sound system over there. He says that if the earth is as the size of a golf ball, there are stars that is as big as Mount Everest. See, what kind of God do you serve? What kind of God do you love? In God is an omniscient God. He is an all-knowing God. If we open your Bible, I was trying to make just direct to the point. I have referred so many texts in here, but I'll go into a shorter way, because I don't want you to starve. Psalms 139. This is my favorite chapter here. Psalms 139. By the way, last Wednesday, some of my relatives were here. And I'm sorry that to say that only one church member who attend Lincoln Church was present. Only one. We have such a good Wednesday worship. But I encourage you, we are now at the verge of the earth's collapse. Even the economy is collapsing. Don't ever think that we will go back into the time when, during the time of 1980s, when we have almost everything, when America has everything. Now, we see that the Chinese own our goods is taking over. I don't think America will go back to that time when prosperity was here in the United States. Okay, God is all-knowing. Have you found that 139, Psalms 139? Let's start. Psalms 139:13. Well, let me get that back. Starting from verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. This is God who is all-knowing. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me.
For such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there.
That's God is omnipresent. God is everywhere.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike.
Amen. Sometimes you are scared. We don't go into the part of the city that is like south side of Chicago. I live in Chicago for 22 years. And every time you go down south, David knows this. He used to live close to the north, but not. You can leave your car parked in that part of the city. You will find out that some of your tires, when you get back to your car, are gone. Or sometimes the whole car. Stolen. See, but to God, night and day is the same. We should not be scared. At least, you know, during this time when my wife takes care of our grandson, I live in the house alone. We talk about ghosts and all that in the past, and sometimes the door would open and shut, but it's air conditioning, it's not the ghost. And I tell you, God, in the eyes of God, night and day is the same. Verse 13, follow with me, please.
For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
See, God knows us, even before we were born. He knows us that even today, God knows even the house where you live. He even knows the number of your hair. Of course, some of us, God will has a little time numbering the hair. No, I'm sorry I said that. But, really, God knows even the number of our hair. He knows. Especially on 17, I would like you to retain this.
Verse 17. How precious also your thoughts to me, O God. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand.
Think about this. God is thinking about you more than the number of the sand. So, why do we have to worry? There's nothing to worry. If we have our faith in Christ, He will carry us through. Well, but I would like to dwell into I'm looking at the clock there, and I have to make sure, because some of my relatives from the Philippines is time to for them to, you know, to eat. I would like to dwell on God is love. The whole Bible tells us about God. Love for man. 1 John, go with me to that book. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. First John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This omnipotent God, this all-powerful God, sent His Son just for you and me. Just think of Calvary. Just think of how much He suffered. Just think when He was lying on the cross, the first nail that ran through His arm. Just feel the pain of that nail running through His palm, then to His legs, all outstretched on the cross. Just think of that when you're discouraged, that God Himself gave His life for you and me. That is the love of God. And, of course, what is our response to Him? This is what I would like to talk about. What is our response? Matthew 28 said that, what? The last few verses says that spread the gospel unto all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many of us are involved in this? How many of us? I will give you one experience that I've talked before here, but there's just few when I had that. You know, it's really a joy to be in God's Word. A few who were here when I told this story. We were in the Philippines building houses. By the way, we bought a piece of land over there. When I took my vacation in the Philippines, I saw these aborigines, as you call them, some of their babies lying on the sidewalk, on top of a cardboard, naked, babies, about 2 years old, 1 year old. When I took my vacation, I looked at them. I said, I should do something for them. And I said, with the help of the Philippine government official, I can go to them and tell them about the condition of these people. I did that with the help of the congressman. But this said, the Philippine government said that they have no money for this group of people. The only thing that he could do is monitor them from one place to another where they live. I said, God, please help me to do something for them. So with the help of my brothers and sisters, we bought a piece of land over there. It's about 4 hectares or 10 acres for them. We built houses and we bought another 2 pieces of land over there, and we built them houses. But during this process something happened in there that I cannot forget. Let me get you.
I don't want to scare you, but this is a small bowl
that some of the Etas there uses when they cut trees. They make it into charcoal. And by the way, we employ them building houses for them over there. And one afternoon, by the way, 103 of them are already baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They are now Christians. We build houses, we employ them, we pay them salary to build their houses. And at that process, one day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe the temperature is about 97 degrees, like we have here, hot. No, humid. The Philippines is surrounded with water, so it's humid. And as we are building, this 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm a little bit. Yeah, I'll do that. They handed me a written note here. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were resting, and one Eta, let's name him Paul, was already, he is very hardworking. When we dug well, like 60 feet deep, he is at the bottom of that well. 60 feet is about 6 stories high, down there to that well. And he would volunteer to go down. And this Paul was ready to work. I said, take a break, because it's so hot. Take a break. But he insisted to go and get some sand. By the way, they carried their sand. We don't have any transportation. This is a remote place where there's no road. And then he went to get his sack, put sand in it, and carried it in his shoulder and carried it back and forth. He doesn't rest. But on the way going to the river to get some sand, there are three brothers who were laughing. He thought that they were laughing at him. You know, these Aborigines, they don't argue. They use their bolo to settle things. And he was so upset with them. He went back to where the teachers and my brother, by the way, he looked for my brother's Luis Bolo, which he ordered at a remembrance when he was a guard during Japanese time. It's a bolo, it's long, it's pointed, for intended to kill. This is what he picked up. It's a longer bolo. And he picked that up and went to these three brothers who have bolos also. And I said, Paul, I was chasing him. Oh, please stop. I know that he wants to settle things with them. And the shortest prayer I ever had was, please, Lord, help me. I followed Paul, and he seemed not to hear, but later on he turned his back and looked at me. I was at a striking distance of his bolo. And without hesitation, please, I said, give me your bolo. He looked at me. Have you seen a man ready to kill? Eyes lips are all shaking. He looked at me. He drank a little bit and handed me his bottle. "Thank you, Lord," I said. But these other three brothers were all raising their bottle also. When they knew that Paul has no weapon, they want to chase him. So what I did is just face these three, but I don't carry my bottle like that. I said, "Fighting." I carry the bottle that I took from Paul like that. I said, "Give me your bottle." The youngest, who is about 16 years old, handed this bottle to me. Then I went to the next. But the oldest would like to settle it with Paul, because Paul is not in the tribe. He married somebody in the tribe, and they hated him. This older brother would like to change. Another prayer lit up into my lips. "Lord, please intervene." I come close to this brother. I said, "Stop it. Give me your bowl." And he gave it to me. I gave a little sermon. I said, we don't kill each other here. I don't want the land that we bought for you will have blood in it. God is a merciful God. It says, and Jeremiah, I'll put this back. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says what? "I have loved you with an everlasting love." You know, it's a joy, really, to work for God. Our mission there in the Philippines is bearing fruit. We have so many interests. We have, as of now, I think 90 students in there. And 31 of them are aborigines who believe in spirits, who believe in nature, that if you wear, their belief is that you don't wear red when there start thunder and lightning. You will get hit. They believe also that if someone dies in the family, you don't eat chicken, because all of them will die. So many believe over there. But these, as soon as they were baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they were peaceful. There are two tribes that fought one another, and 14 of them died. But now that they are converted into our faith, I could see them sitting in the church side by side. See what the Lord can do. Let me interrupt this. I'll go on, but my nephew here would like to play his harmonica. And he is a special child that with a family.
Thank you.
you, Brian. One more. Well, these are all testimonies that I'm going to have since we are, this is the time when we have to know each other as one big family. I would direct again your attention into, are you ready? Are you ready when Jesus will come? When I was in Manila, I was taking up architecture, and I have a sister. By the way, that sister is the mother of David, who slew Goliath. This sister has been so dear to me, and when I was taking architecture, she would prepare my breakfast, my lunch, because I work and study at the same time. My breakfast and lunch is already ready by 6 o'clock in the morning. I would pick it up this for 4 years. She did it to help me out. But one day, she got sick. I owe everything, almost everything, to her. And the prognosis is, she is not going to live very long. I get this information because they were in California at the time, and she was in the hospital. I was driving, and I was thinking about her, how much she has given me the support when I was studying. I was praying. I stopped in one of the rest area at 12 o'clock at night, begging God that He will spare her life. When I reached California, she was in the hospital. Continually praying. You see, when you love somebody, you want to pray for somebody. I love my family. There are times when I would kneel middle of the night and cry like a baby that all my family will be together with me, will be together with my mother, my father, my sister, and my brother who died before us. But there are times that what has God plan for each one of us, we cannot change it. One of the saddest things that I ever felt in the hospital is that I look at her. She was pale, lost some weight. She used to be a nurse, by the way, a registered nurse, also working in Chicago. But when I get into the hospital, there she was, lying, that she will not live long enough, that she is about to die. I hold her hand, and all of a sudden, she sang, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." I look at her face. I cannot stand it with emotion. I don't know whether it's for joy that she is sure of heaven. I don't know. I walked out of that room and cried. I went to a drinking fountain. I washed my face like Joseph when he was meeting his brother, and he went back. I don't want her to see me crying. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Brothers and sisters, are you on solid ground that when the time comes, as what Daniel say in Daniel 12, we will be having trouble in this earth, as the world has never known? Are you going to stay with Christ? Are you going to follow Him and be with Him eternally? My singing group, family singing group, will lead us into that song. By the way, when she went with her husband to Chicago, we were riding in the car, and I asked her, I asked Esther, is it painful? She said, yes, it's painful. I know I'll never see my sister alive again. I hold her hand and say, Esther, if I don't see you again, I'll meet you in the tree of life in heaven. He said, yes. Yes. She is sure of heaven. Are you sure of heaven? Are you ready to see your loved ones who were faithful till Jesus come? One of the saddest things that is now prevalent to this world is that is found in Hebrews, open your Bible please, and that book, Hebrews 10, 26. Hebrews 10, 26. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remain a sacrifice for sin, but a certain prayerful expectation of judgment, fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance, what, is mine. After we have known the truth and walk away from the truth, we are not standing on solid ground. I would say, brothers and sisters, be faithful. Walk in the narrow road, for Christ is coming soon. I have not seen nor ears heard what he is preparing for each one of us there. This painting that I painted is just a very poor presentation of what the new earth will be. Just imagine getting into the new Jerusalem. Street made out of gold. Here we are to enter if we remain faithful. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time we have spent with you. Please be with us the rest of our life. For we know, Father, we are going home. And this earth is not our home. We long forward into that day when you come in the clouds of heaven and will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, please come soon. And may it be, Father, that not one in this congregation will be lost. And that heaven may you please be with our family and the church family as we journey on in this earth. Heaven is a beautiful place awaiting for us. Oh Father, make us pure and holy where thou art pure and holy. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.